There we go. And we're live. Let's welcome Adam Furness, Managing Director and Impact. I'm really, really, you know, appreciating you for coming onto the podcast. And I have to make an apology first because of my last stream kind of overran a little bit. So sorry to keep you waiting. And how are you over there in Sydney, Australia?
Mate, I was worried where you were, Wayne. But it's good to be here, mate. I'm well, apart from it being a rainy day today in Sydney. But I'm very well, thank you.
This is brilliant. And it's also a little bit rainy here in Singapore. In fact, I'm staring outside. It's cloudy. I think it's going to rain heavy buckets in a couple of minutes. So let's enjoy this little atmosphere that we are surrounded by. And maybe we'll start by getting you to tell us. Let's read about a little bit about what you do and what is the main purpose and the goal of what you are doing at Impact.
Yeah, certainly. So I think, for me, creating impact in the world is really important, Wayne. So that means creating impact personally, so with my family, my friends, creating impact professionally, and also in the community. So it's quite fitting that I work for a company which is called Impact. So my role at Impact is I'm the Managing Director for Asia Pacific. So I look across offices in Sydney, Singapore, and Shanghai at this stage. And I kind of do a lot of different things in that role, from making sure there's toilet paper in the office, which at this point is fine because my office is working from home and there is toilet paper, to writing board reports, helping with marketing, helping with business development efforts, customer success. I think my core focus is ensuring that we are recruiting, retaining, and inspiring top customers, where I see my people as our customers as well as those that work with us.
This is brilliant. And I notice when I go to your website, you guys call yourself growth technologies. That's a really buzzy word, but something that is also really relevant, especially now that we're in the midst of pandemic as well, right? Everyone who has never used Zoom previously, they are now using Zoom for the first time. So we can even call, my mom or my sister technologies because she's using technology for the first time in their lives ever. Can you maybe tell us how it's transforming, in terms of impact, the way that enterprises are being managed, and also in terms of optimizing all types of partnerships?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, we call ourselves growth technologists. We talk about the space we work in as partnership automation, or the partnership space, and what we provide is partnership automation software. So what that is it's technology that allows any business to form a partnership with another business or an individual and then pay them based on some kind of business outcome, Wayne. So a sale, a lead, acquisition, download, whatever that may be. So the technology allows them to discover those that want to have partnerships, allows them to contract, so form an agreement, optimize based on what's working, what's not. So all the analytics is all in the technology, as well as make payments based on what that agreement is. So someone like yourself, Wayne, for instance, as a influencer, as a podcaster, you could actually be on one side of our technology and drive sales to other businesses and actually be paid for that, whether that was, you'd use a live integration, a live read, or, have a pre-roll or something like that within your podcast. So you could actually be paid based on driving business outcomes for what it is that you do today.
This is amazing. So it's a form of advertising as well, to have the ability for me to even read like an advertising script. And then based on what I read on the show, for example, any of the listeners who are interested in, for example, your brand, Impact, right? They can immediately maybe check out your website or maybe even click a link in the show notes of my podcast and being able to connect with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that would be an example. So if we had an arrangement, and we don't, by the way, but if we did have an arrangement where I said to you, look, Wayne, if you drive sales of Impact, I'm going to pay you a fixed fee for doing that. We could arrange that via our technology. You'd put the link in the show notes. Someone would click on that, come through. We'd be able to track them that they've come through from your podcast. And then in the back end, we'd be tracking how many people that you'd sent to us, how many sales you had driven, and then we would pay you based on that agreement that we had. So I'd probably call that a business-to-business type partnership. So we see these types of partnerships happen mass scale. We deal with about 1,300 brands globally. An example would be Ticketmaster, who licenses our technology. working with a Spotify, for instance, where if you're in Spotify and you're listening to your favorite song and you're reading some content, you can click through to buy tickets to the artist, for instance. And that's a relationship between Ticketmaster and Spotify powered by our technology, where Ticketmaster is paying Spotify for all of those sales. That's just one kind of example there. But yeah, we do that on scale all around the world.
This is fantastic. And I've seen there are many testimonials on your website already. You have so many huge brands who are on board as well. So I'm sure this is something that is really valuable, not just to big brands, to even small, medium businesses, as well as podcasters like me, right? So do you get a lot of traction and also a lot of inquiries during this pandemic from people who are starting their podcast for the first time and wondering how they can monetize and maybe come into partnership with Impact?
Yeah, it's been really, really interesting. I think I feel very grateful and very fortunate. We have quite a resilient business model based on we sell technology. So we sell license fees. It's software as a service. So 1 year, 2 year, 3 year type of deals. But because it's all driving and being paid based on business outcomes, when the market gets tough, which is what's kind of happened globally, you see businesses kind of heading towards things that they know are going to work for them. And what we do is provide that technology to allow businesses to be able to, you know, pay other partners based on that kind of performance or business outcome, which we feel has been, you know, really, really good when the market has been tough. And it certainly has been tough coming through this pandemic. It's been really interesting, actually. So my role spanning across APAC, I've seen the early signs of it when it was happening through China, and then kind of all the way around the world. And I feel great about our business in China now that they're coming out the other side, which is great for them and great for China as well. But certainly our technology has been in high demand, which I feel grateful for.
This is fantastic. So you mentioned earlier about like even like me, I'm a podcaster. I'm also like a social media influencer now. And kind of, 10 years ago, you know, like when Joe Rogan started his first podcast, nobody would even call him a social media influencer. But these days, you know, when he has guests, you know, like doctors coming onto his podcast and talk about a pandemic, this is actually where people consume information and learn about coronavirus for the first time, right? By listening in to a podcast episode. So in terms of podcasters being an influencer as well, you know, in terms of whether brands or even communities, they are ghosting their influencers. Yeah, this really caught my eye because immediately it comes to my mind is that if a brand, for example, they are looking at maybe engaging someone to promote their brand or maybe talk about their business and their product offerings or even to drive traffic, right? And they're not really sure how, you know, to identify the right social media influencer to carry out these tasks really well. So I think your ebook on your website is basically giving us an opportunity to not just inquire about how we can better identify which are the podcasters that are, you know, have a growing influence on the social media landscape, but also having the ability to talk directly to their communities. For example, like for my community, basically CMOs, right? So they manage brands and of course they manage their communities as well, and they run campaigns. Mm-hmm. They are always wondering, you know, how they can harness technology, and by being, you know, coming into partnership with you guys at Impact, they're able to actually work hand in hand with you guys to track exactly, you know, who are the podcasters that are having, you know, growing influence, who are able to push up communication and also over communicate and put up messages across, so that whatever that even a podcaster like me, you know, decide to like or maybe to tune in or to interview today, I'm able to influence my community listeners to go check them out as well. So I think your ebook is basically
that's exactly right, Wayne. If you don't mind, I'll just quickly one of the interesting things about that is that anything that you do can be tracked. So in the world of influencers in the past, where you may push out some content and you're wondering whether that actually has driven some kind of business outcome, for instance, right? With technology like Impact, we can track all of that that's happening. So, and you could be paid based on creating content and pushing that out. So that could be one payment. And then you can get a bonus payment based on your performance. And the brand that has licensed the technology can track all of that through. So if you like, it's bringing some layer of accountability to that influence or to that podcast or to that blog. Sorry to jump in there, but I just thought I'd call that out.
This is fantastic. I think it's thank you so much for clarifying that area. I've just signed up to get this content, but because I think this ebook is really influential in terms of allowing me to even send out this particular content and ebook to my partners as well, to my clients, and of course that's one way for them to also find out through my podcast, through my inquiry about you guys. It's great to have all this ebook shared around people that we develop a relationship with, and of course sometimes it's not just about sending them links and ask them to check it out, but the ebook like that would be really handy in the trying to figure out what is the next best thing to do, and there's so many things and tons of things that we can do on a daily basis, right? To communicate better, to, push up messages more effectively, and of course, to grow a community. So I think this partnership is really valuable. So I think your website looks pretty amazing, and I've already submitted my inquiry as well. I think your guys will probably be contacting me after this podcast episode, right?
They possibly will do that, Wayne. I hope they do. If not, I definitely will. The way that we kind of look at this world as well is we look at kind of what Salesforce has done in sales automation, and we look at what HubSpot or Marketo has done in marketing automation. We're doing the same thing in this whole kind of partnership automation space. So that's kind of how we look at it. And you're right. Like, it's driving revenue for podcasters. It's driving revenue for influencers. It's driving revenue in that ecosystem of publishers, which what we're finding now is that publishers that have typically taken CPM or paid kind of display media buyers, they're kind of struggling now. So they're looking for new streams of revenue as well. And we're finding that we're able to bring some demand to those types of content publishers to help them get through the pandemic as well. So that's been really interesting and something I feel really good about. And we're going to be launching come June. I'm going to give you a sneak peek here, but it's going to be a publisher pledge, where it's going to be a real focus of ours to help those publishers out. So watch this space on that one.
That's fantastic. I can't wait. And in fact, I think I'm going to sign up immediately after this. So let's maybe put to bed about your website and also the kind of benefits you are rolling out for your partners, for brands, and of course for all the CMOs who are listening right now. Maybe can you tell us about how you started out in this business in terms of helping your partners? I think it's a really great thing that you're doing, not just in terms of using technology, harnessing technology and introducing it to your partners, but what actually inspired you to start out in this business?
Yeah, so it's been 2.5 years now in impact. And look, I never thought I'd be heading into this field. It sort of stemmed from traditional affiliates, which has now kind of evolved into this partnership space. But when I was talking to the team at Impact, I was actually recommending other people. I thought maybe I'm not the right sort of person to head into this space. And I was recommending other folk. And they said, no, we think that this could be a good partnership. Why don't you come and meet us in Santa Barbara? In California, and I'd never been to California, Wayne. So I'd never been to Santa Barbara, and I thought, why not? Went over and met with them all, and when I sat down with the founders and the CEO, Dave Ivano, around kind of what their mission was, what their vision was, the purpose, how customers would get up on stage and talk about how Impact had really helped their business grow, told me a little bit about that. We were going to be focusing on marketing, get a CMO, and really own this space of partnership automation. I got super excited about the opportunity, and when I jumped on the plane to fly home, I thought, this is really a business I want to be a part of and grow across Asia Pacific. So that's kind of the story there, Wayne.
That leads to my next question. What was going to be the highlight of this year, 2020?
What was going to be the highlight of this year?
Pandemic started, right? Everybody has a huge expectation for 2020. It's like new decade, yeah. And then things just start unraveling, right? I mean, we started with the Australian bushfires, and then there was like even the threat of an Iran-America war, and it leads to this, the coronavirus, which is like the biggest, thing in the history, I think, for the past 100 years. So what was going to be the highlight of this year for you before the pandemic started?
Yeah, I think from a professional sense, the highlight was going to be launching in Japan this year. And I think I'll be holding that off now until kind of next year, and just focus on the markets that we're in APAC, and the offices that we've got in APAC, and making sure that we continue to grow, we continue to help our customers, and the team are happy and engaged and healthy and safe. So I think, yeah, that would be probably one of the things that I've had to put on hold until next year, is the opening of our office in Japan. But that's still on the cards. But I think that would probably be the highlight that's not going to happen this year now, Wayne. You might hear my dog in the background. He's whinging. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I could hear it loud and clear over here. So, I mean, yeah, it turned out kind of different from the way we expected. But of course, you know, it's not about just this year alone. It's about an entire lifetime work as well, right? And I'm looking at your LinkedIn as well. It's a really remarkable journey. Maybe instead of focusing on what's not going to happen this year, what was actually the highlight of your entire career so far? I think this is something that all the CMOs who are tuning in are really interested to know about you.
Look, I think the highlight of my career has actually been participating in one of our, it's an organization in Australia, it's called Unlimited. It's a social purpose organization that generates funds and talent to support youth charities. So I've been part of that organization for 14 years, I suppose, since it was a few people sitting around a table going, what can we do in this whole media marketing, advertising and tech space to really help? And Unlimited was formed, it was Mayday at that stage, and it's been 14 years that I've been a part of that organization. And it's been amazing to see the value that we've been able to generate for youth-related charities. So we've generated over about $60 million in value in that time. So that's probably been the highlight, an ongoing highlight. I mean, my involvement in that organization certainly isn't as much as it was in those early days. We have a CEO and a formal like a team, and I'm just part of the board now. But I think that's probably right up there, just really seeing the impact that we could create in the youth of Australia.
This is fantastic. And so, you know, being an organization that raises funds and for charitable causes, right? And also in terms of the amount of money you have helped to raise to benefit the youth as well, this is probably something that's really inspiring to everyone, you know, who are looking at ways where they can, you know, take more positive actions, especially during this pandemic, right? It inspires us to maybe think of how we can do even more, take more actions and have a better response. So are you able to maybe tell us the link of this website, this organization that you're part of?
So be unlimited, .org, I think it is. So
B.unltd.org. Okay. So I hope my spelling is correct.
Might be .org.au, but we'll make sure that's in the show notes.
Sure. Okay. So I think this probably is a misspelling. We'll rectify that later on. But of course, that's one way to find out more about your charitable organization as well, right? So maybe can you tell us in terms of the pandemic, right, how it has affected you? Because this is a question that I normally ask our CMOs who come onto the podcast, how the pandemic has affected them personally, and also in terms of like creatively, and also business-wise. How has this pandemic affected you?
I think it's made me a little bit more empathetic. I think it's made me a little bit, you know, really focus on connection, focus on connection with my team, focus on connection with my family. I think actually that's been a highlight that's come out of it as well as working from home. I've got two girls and a wife and a dog that was whining in the background there, who's left, which is good. And I've just been able to do things with my family that I normally don't have the time to, or I'm not around because I travel a lot across Asia. So that connection's been really good. The connection with my team, just the importance of the connection and talking to people through this journey. Everyone sort of responds differently to the pandemic. And I think that's been really, really important. And also from a business perspective is the connection with customers. They're all going through a different, you know, different journey themselves. Some are doing extremely well, and some aren't doing so well. You know, those customers of ours that are in like the streaming space, for instance, you know, whether that's like a Disney Plus, for instance, they're doing extremely well. We work with Woolworths, Coles. They're all doing extremely well. And then there's others which are in more the travel and entertainment, hospitality space, which aren't doing so well. So there's different stories, and I reach out to the folk that we deal with, our customers, and just try to help wherever I can. So that's been really important as well.
This is amazing, and it's really a great sneak peek into your life as well. And of course, we are doing this connecting and also this communication, by doing it virtually. And we are able to even have a peek into your home as well, and the nice couch you have in the background. So I think this is a great way to continue 2020. We are actually getting closer with technology, and also not just the offerings, that are offered by your company, which are great innovation. We are also communicating in ways that we have never done before. So I really appreciate you for being such a great innovator, and of course sharing your insights as well and what to our global community. So the next question I have for you is in terms of how you have been coping with it, like the pandemic, like pre-lockdown, when you hear that, Australia, are going to get locked down as well, right? Once that news spread, what was going through your mind? And in terms of also the people who are, working for you, like your employees, you have a great team of staff, and I've been communicating with them leading to this podcast, great people, yeah? And, what was your message to them at the time as well, before this pandemic news actually spread fast and quick?
Yeah, so we haven't reached a lockdown in Australia, and I think now we're going to start come out the other side. But my direct team does span. We've got the office in Singapore and China, which have had lockdown measures. I think for some employees it's been really, really tough, and for others they've found it a little bit easier. And I think it's just been connecting every week. We have a chat which we call the 5 Minute Friday. We all get together. We had a few happy hours as well along the way where we all called and had drinks together on Zoom. We had lunches a few times together. And I think it's that communication. It's the be okay not to be okay. And we're big on the vulnerability piece. I think the vulnerability is power. And so we just share how we're feeling. One of the things we always do on a Friday morning when we get together is we ask each other how we're feeling. Out of 10, how are you feeling? And, sometimes people are 3, sometimes they're 5, sometimes they're 10, which is great. And we also then talk about what were the wins of the week and what did we learn, what are we going to apply for next week. And we'll just be open, honest and transparent and vulnerable. And I think that's really important in a team, really important as individuals. And I think that's helped us to keep that connection, keep the communication open, and just be open with each other and how we're feeling. Be real, be authentic. So I think that's been very, very helpful for us to get through and hopefully get to the other side as well.
This is fantastic.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah, sure we will. And that's why, I think your words really carry weight, and it's really interesting for us to get your thoughts as well. In terms of looking ahead, what are your thoughts? What's going to happen in the next, few months down the road, or even in the next couple of years?
Yeah, look, I don't know. If I knew, I'd be retired in an island somewhere, probably, if I could predict the future. I mean, the way that I kind of look at it is there is light at the end of the tunnel without a question. I'm not going to put a time or a date on what that is, but there will be an end to it. I think it's interesting when times are really tough. There's a lot of innovation that comes out of it. There's some silver linings, that will happen as well. And you see that happening on a day-to-day basis, like the just great acts of kindness that's happening, innovation. Look at, the Zoom. You mentioned Zoom before, the video calling, what's happening in homes with home workout apps and all that sort of thing. Like there's really kind of interesting in going through that cycle. So I do see an end to it. Will we go back to normal? No, there will be a new norm. I believe in that. And I also believe in, when we've been talking about this as a team as well, which is this 20-mile march thing. It's like, don't think about, or put a date on when this is going to end. Just every day, get up, do your 20-mile march, get up again, do your 20-mile march, and make sure you're kind of enjoying it and connecting, and just get up and deal with it day by day. Be consistent, be unrelentingly consistent day in, day out, and then we will get to the other end no matter what that looks like. And the idea is that we bring each of us through it as well. So, reach out to your teammates, bring them along, check in, and make sure each day we all make that 20-mile march, and then we do it again, and then we do it again, and then we do it again. If we keep doing that consistently and unrelentingly, we'll get to the other side and we'll get there all together. So that's kind of been the focus, Wayne, and it's something that we talk about as an impact team across Asia Pacific every single day.
This is really inspiring. I think using words like that really gear up your troops, you know, to continue fighting for a good cause, right? And of course, the way that your innovation is continuing to help people, even like me, you know, a podcaster, with great technology to track, to identify, to look at analytics, to do even better content based on all this data that you collect on our behalf, and helping us to make even better content and monetizing it. I think this is great. And something that everyone should really seriously take a look at. And of course, in terms of talking about leadership, right, there are so many beacons of leadership that we can champion during these times as well. And what you just said, in fact, I will lump you together with people like Jacinda Ardern, you know, the New Zealand Prime Minister, or even people like Justin Trudeau, yeah, the Canadian Prime Minister. They are all great people who shows a lot of empathy, and that's something that I can hear immediately from you, from how you are motivating your troops to continue to fight. So who are the other people who have touched your heart during this pandemic? Are there any people that you want to put the spotlight on?
I think you've mentioned definitely a couple there, but I think I'm very fortunate working in the company that I work with as well. Our founder pair and Dave Yovano, our CEO, very empathetic, amazing humility, compassion, people orientated, which, you know, I've been inspired by them as well. The organization that I was talking about before, Unlimited, that team led by Chris Friel, and the wonderful work they're doing with media marketing, advertising, creative and tech industries around ensuring everyone's kind of mentally healthy and they're sort of checking in and doing a lot of work. I find that very, very inspiring. And they're just day-to-day people. Look at the nurses, look at those that are on the front line, those people that are, you know, selfless and hours after hours are there to help others. I think they're our new heroes in this world as well. It's no longer, you know, the sporting stars. There's hardly any live sport at the moment. It's those frontline workers that are saving lives. That's what they're doing. I find that really, really inspiring. You see there's a lot of images now on the kind of the marks on their face from wearing the masks and the glasses and the goggles and all that sort of thing. And, I think they're doing an amazing job, and that's hugely inspiring to me.
This is great. And of course, you put a spotlight on some of your partners as well and your employees. So it's always a great thing to show appreciation for the frontline workers as well. So you have covered all these important people, yeah, during this pandemic. Can you maybe tell us, in terms of the lessons that are learned from this pandemic, what are the lessons that your organization has learned as well? Can you share that with all the CMOs who are listening in?
Yeah, I think we've learned that we're very fortunate in our business model. Our business model is a license fee, as I talked about. So 12-month, 2-year, 3-year license fees. We're in the performance marketing space, if you like. So being, you know, paid or paying out based on business outcomes. I think that's shows that we've got some resilience in our business model. So I think we've learned that. We've learned that the diversity of our business is really important as well. So having, you know, 12 offices globally, working with various categories across the spectrum, so finance, travel, entertainment, health, lifestyle, like various streaming services. So that diversity has certainly helped us as well. And then we've looked at where we can cut costs before we've even had to think about the people sort of side of it. So, you know, travel, entertainment, license and rental kind of agreements with our offices, all of those things have gone kind of first, before we've even had to look at any reductions in salary or headcount, which is, you know, the thing we're trying to protect is our most important asset, which is our people. So we'll cut everything else in our business before we even have to get there. So we made some smart decisions early, but our business, fortunately, is in really good shape, considering all things considered. So I think, you know, we've proved that to ourselves as well, that we've got a very resilient business and a very people-focused business. Although we're in tech, we're about people, and we've done everything we can through this period to protect our people.
I think you nailed it in the head in terms of your preparedness and your resourcefulness, even before, you know, the pandemic happened in 2020, right? You guys are already ready for it, and you guys have already have all this innovation in place to help your partners and your clients. So when this happened, there's not really, you know, a huge negative impact. In fact, you're able to even grow during this pandemic and during this crisis. And of course, there are businesses which are not doing really well right now. I'm talking about some of those traditional or even businesses that, you know, expect that based on location or their history, the people or the customers will just keep on coming in, you know. But during the pandemic, that's when, you know, everything just changed. The game has changed immediately. So we are always, you know, empathetic, and we're of course not thrilled by the fact that businesses are closing, right? Or people are losing their jobs. We don't really cry over businesses that have never, you know, think about digital transformation, think about better ways of doing things, and embracing, you know, digital transformation, you know, 100% and going all in. And of course, this is a time where you really reveal, you know, which are the businesses, you know, that will survive this pandemic. And Impact is one of those businesses. You're prepared for that. You're resourceful. And of course, all this information that we need, all this help and technology that we need is available through the click of a button by just signing up on your website, right? So this is something that we are all, you know, not just welcome innovation and technologies like this, but we are also actively participating as well and make sure that the great technologies and platforms like this are shared around the world. So we're now at the last segment of this podcast, and normally we'll do a speed round of questions. So try not to overthink your answers. Are you ready for a flurry of questions for me?
I don't know if I am ready, but I don't think it matters because you're going to give it to me anyway, Wayne. So let's do it.
A brand that you cannot live without?
Apple.
Great choice. A favorite startup founder ever?
Elon Musk.
Your most admired CEO?
David Vano.
Favorite tool right now?
Favorite tool? It'd have to be my phone.
Fantastic. Who would you recommend following? Can you name us at least three?
Three people to follow from a resource perspective. I look at general sort of publications as well. I like looking at Ad Exchanger. I like looking at the Campaign Asia. I like kind of following general sort of, you know, I do follow a lot of podcasters, but I can never remember their names. But I am going to follow you now, Wayne, and listen to this show. And I listen to a lot of podcasting as well. So I consume a lot of content, but I can never remember the specifics. I would have had to write this down to give you the specifics, and I haven't. Sorry.
This is great. I appreciate you even more because now you're part of my growing subscriber base. But of course, the next one that I'm going to ask you, if you could have dinner with any three other people, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Nelson Mandela. I think so many people say Nelson Mandela. I just respect that man so much. Barack Obama, another person I respect. And Jacinta Ardern. Yeah, I love those three people all together. That'd be pretty cool.
I'm also one of her fanboys, yeah, because she has shown really a lot of leadership during this crisis. Can you remember the first brand that had an impact on you when you were a kid?
Nike.
Cardio or weights?
Probably cardio.
Cola or lemonade?
Lemonade.
Podcasts or vlogs?
Podcast.
What else do you have going on that you want our listener to be on the lookout for and make sure, you know, they are going to check it out next time when you have this available?
Look, I think that if you found anything interesting that I've spoken about today and you think, you know, you're looking for the next wave of growth in your organization, you're looking at partnerships, that's certainly a great channel. Just reach out to me on LinkedIn. No doubt my link will be in the show notes, but just Adam Finesse at LinkedIn and shoot me a PM and I'd be more than happy to help talk to you about growth and where we can support you.
Fantastic. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and we definitely enjoyed talking to you today. So we're going to finish this podcast right here. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much for coming on to the podcast. You have a great day in Sydney, Australia.
Thank you, Wayne. I really appreciate the opportunity.
I'll come over for a visit one of these days after we get over the other side of the corona. Yeah. See you, mate.
Definitely. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.